technology. No, nothing. I don't want to force it because I actually want to just hurry up and start the show before technology fails us yet again.
Yes, we have very limited time.
I'm gonna hit go then.
Just go. Just do it.
Hello and welcome to episode 176 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam. I'm just Adam. Did I throw you off? So every once in a while I like to throw you a curveball.
Oh yeah, no, I have no problem with curveballs. It's the changeups that are the issue.
Oh, I threw you a changeup.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I saw the arm motion. This is the thing. This is the thing with the fastball versus changeup, is you can't really tell if they do it well. You can't tell the difference,
right?
In the arm motion, but curveball you can usually detect.
But I didn't change my arm motion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, a changeup isn't as effective when your fastball is 48 miles an hour.
Mine's so, more like 36.
If that, yeah. So there's that.
And wild.
What? Oh, you can't even spot your 36-mile-an-hour fastball? Nope. You want to be able to spot it. That's the thing. You want to go inside out. You don't want to be down right over the middle.
Yeah. No, I just right up and right in the center of the high end of the strike zone.
You hang out. You know what's kind of funny is actually I played ball last week with this in Ulm with my second team, like the second league team.
Right.
And Ulm, the birthplace of Einstein, by the way.
Okay.
Not related to the story, but a dude did hang a fastball out over the plate, and I hit a home run, so there you go.
Wow.
First time hitting one out since I turned 40.
Great. Did you get the ball? Did you frame the ball?
No. No, you don't do that.
A little shadow box?
Nope. No. No shadow box. I did not do that. What I did do was when I got to home plate, though, my celebration move was I just turned my back to the pitcher, and then mimed a selfie.
Nice.
with him in the background.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Did you toss the bat?
No.
No. Did you flip the bat?
I do not do that.
Oh.
No. And I knew right away. Like I knew as soon as I hit it, I knew it was out. I just drop my head and run. I'm from the Steve Largent school of celebration.
Right.
Timely reference.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Anyways, there's that. So when we get to the part where, hey, what's going on? That was my what's going on.
Okay. All right. We can skip that then.
I titled it Homering in Einstein's Birthplace. That old story.
Right.
What's going on with you, Adam?
Not a lot. It's a long weekend here, so I'm excited. I'm excited to be not working for a few days.
You know what's good about long weekends?
What?
They never have short weekends. It's never like, oh, yeah. This weekend, sorry, everybody to work.
Right.
Should I back that up and try and make it funny?
Yeah. Make it. Say the same thing, but in a funnier way.
You know what's good about the long weekends?
No, Al, what?
Like my friend's lover boy said, everybody's working for the weekend.
You want to try one more time?
Uh-huh. What else do I got for weekends? Was that the not funny beep?
Yeah, no. I think the first one was better.
That was the not funny alarm that went off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not trying it again.
Okay.
We'll work on it next week. Next week, we'll feature a very funny weekend joke.
Okay.
I love long weekends.
Me too.
Which is weird because I don't even have a day job. So there's no such thing.
Right.
But in general... Do you like having the Friday off or the Monday?
Both.
No. You can't. That's a super long weekend.
Oh.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when it's a long weekend and it's either going to be the Friday or the Monday.
Right.
Which do you prefer to have off?
Ooh, that's tough. I think the Monday, but I'm not sure about that. I have to really give that some serious thought.
Mm-hmm.
How about you?
I can go either way because I like Fridays. And when you have Friday off, you technically now have two Fridays. So double Friday's awesome.
Right.
I like Sundays too, but for different reasons. So now if you have two Sundays, that's a whole different kettle of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like two baths in 1 week right there.
Yeah, who needs that?
Certainly not me.
No.
So I could go either way, but because generally when you go to work, like, you know, if you have a 9-to-5 or Monday to Friday, Friday is usually your day that you can just soar through, right?
Yes.
Mondays.
No, that's true. That's very true.
So, I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of this in the next hour.
Okay, maybe we'll take a poll.
Around the room. Okay, everyone in here.
Yeah, ask Emily.
Just me, yeah. Yeah. So there's that. So long weekend, what do you got planned? Stuff?
Yeah, by the time this airs, it'll have already happened. So we're going to go to Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
I've heard of it.
The end.
Tea at the Empress.
Yes. Well, it is Queen Victoria's celebration, so.
Yeah. So you're going to Victoria on Victoria Day.
Yeah.
Oh, good thinking.
Yeah, that's how we roll here.
Are you gonna go into town, or is it just gonna be like out in the burbs with the parents?
Folks? I don't know. Good question. Probably go into town.
Yeah, I like town there.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school there for a while, and so lived there for a couple of years, and quite liked it.
Okay.
So there's that. There's no real good stories. It's just that I like some of the restaurants right along the water there, and provides a lot of good photo opportunities.
Yes.
Is what I like about that. And I'm guessing with the nice weather that you're having that you're probably going to see some street performers and buskers and whatnot.
Weather is supposed to be very poor this weekend. It's been good, but it's not supposed to be good. So I wasn't planning on taking my camera.
So if you do see some buskers and some street performers, they're going to be hardy folk.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of lumberjack shows, I'm assuming. On the boardwalk.
Right.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I did, and I haven't shared them, but we went to Playland last weekend, and I took some photos, and I was actually in some photos. I handed my camera off to my wife, and she took some photos. It was our first trip of the year to Playland, so...
Let me interrupt real quick there. When you handed your camera off to your wife, how did you do that? What settings, what mode, what'd you do?
Well, when I did it, it was, I believe it was an AV mode, and I kind of used some, leave her some leeway. So it was sort of AV mode. And I think I bumped the ISO up to 800, just so that she'd get a fast shutter speed. And we're outside an overcast day. And, I think I set the f-stop at somewhere around 6.3 or 7.1. So there would be a decent focal, I guess, margin for error with the focal point. Mm-hmm. And then I think I used, cause we were moving around on the ride. So I think I used the autofocus, servo tracking mode.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then I just handed it off. We did some bumper cars, so she got and looking at the photos afterwards, she got some really good shots of me with the kids on the bumper cars. And I can't remember if there was another situation where I passed it off and she did photos, but I think there was. But got some good photos and did it all with here's my new move for this kind of event is I took the T2i, so my crop sensor camera, and then I put the 85 millimeter lens on it because I didn't want to have to haul around the big 70-200 at Playland. Mm-hmm. So now I've got a pretty compact package, but with a pretty long sort of zoom reach.
Right. Long focal length. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was super thrilled. So sometimes you almost have to back up a little bit, but for the most part, when someone's on a ride, it was pretty darn near perfect. And even occasionally you still even want to crop from there. So,
you know, what's funny is again, we hadn't talked about this ahead of time. Why would we? But my interesting shoot this week, I did very, very similar move with the camera wise, very different subject matter.
Right.
But camera-wise, did almost the exact same move, and lens-wise and package-wise. So we'll get into that when we're done with your Playland stuff, which I want to hear more about, if there is more.
No, there's not. Actually, maybe there is. I got some of my favorite photos... I did like, you know, I'm sure at every fair people are familiar with the ride where, you know, it's the big swings that swing around. But I took a couple of photos of my kids while I'm on the swings trying to shoot them. Like, I sort of sat back, I don't know, 15, 20 feet from them and position myself so I would sort of shoot them while they're on the swings and get some really neat effects, because I mean your distance to them is staying constant, but the swings are rotating and moving quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So you get a very cool kind of background blur effect with the motion, yet they're staying pretty much in the spot that they were all along. So it's not that hard to get a sharp focus, and mm-hmm. thought some of those pictures were just phenomenal. I wish I was actually a little further back, but I got a couple of, you know, they're a little bit tighter than I would have framed them had I had the choice, but they look really, really neat. So
when you were like shooting that. Them, what, yeah. like, let's position wise on the swings. It's a bigger round thing, like a clock,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's say they were sitting at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Where were you sitting?
I was probably at, I'm gonna say, 7 or 8 o'clock.
At 7 or 8. Okay, yeah. So you're behind them.
Yes, I'm behind them, and then I'm, you know, it's pretty loud when the thing's going, but every once in a while I'm yelling, "Hey, someone look back here." So I get them sort of turned, and my daughter cooperated a bit. So I got a couple of her where she's turned while the swings are going, and then I fire off a picture, and again, just a really cool looking photo, because mm-hmm. it's quite clear. It's almost like, how on earth did you get that, right?
Yes.
And the only way you get it is by taking the picture while you're physically on the swings, and the thing is moving quite quickly, so it's a bit tricky to hold the camera still, but beyond that, it's a very cool perspective.
And you, of course, had the strap around your neck.
I did. Had
yes.
Or I just had it wrapped around my hand, either way.
Wrapped around something.
Yeah. It wasn't dangling in midair.
No, you don't want that taking a spill. You don't want it dropping your camera.
No. I think overall, like, because we took lots of different pictures, my kids are pretty brave when it comes to the rides now. You know, every year we go, they get braver and braver, but took lots of different shots on different rides, and I was wildly happy with how good that they were with that little setup. So the crop sensor camera and the 85 millimeter lens is kind of like a match made in heaven for those who don't want to spend big bucks on a mm-hmm. on a long sort of 70 to 200.
Absolutely. The only cheaper move is to go to Playland with Adam.
Yes, or do that.
Yeah. That's the hot move.
Yeah.
Would you say that, just for people who are going to, you know, replicate this shoot at home, like, let's say we have people who live in Santa Cruz or something, and they're going to do this, would you say you would have gotten better results if you sat at, say, 4 o'clock? So that your kids were facing you?
Probably extremely difficult in this scenario to turn around. You couldn't right. turn around backwards, right?
Right.
So that's the whole thing. That was my first instinct, and I kind of positioned myself and then realized quickly when I sat there, there was no physical way uh-huh. I was going to be able to turn around backwards and still do this. Like, my body, not flexible enough, I guess.
Right. Unless you're into yoga, then yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't pull off that corkscrew maneuver. So there, I didn't really have any choice other than to sit behind them and hope that they were going to be able to turn around.
And you can't sit at 6 o'clock because now the base of the
swing
is in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. That one, that's out of the question altogether. There's too much interference there. Yeah.
I look forward to seeing these. That sounds like a great thing. It sounds like, you know, the motion blur that we talked about, many episodes ago was the photo challenge, as a matter of fact.
Yes. And I should make reference to the fact that I'm having, you know this, but I'm having aperture problems with my library. I'm having error. I cannot open. So I have to sort that out first. So I do have the pictures still on the card. So I could, you know, if nothing else, I could start a whole new setup and import those photos again. But I'm hoping to recover my library. I do have it backed up in different locations. So hopefully I can get it working in the near future.
I also hope that.
Yeah, that would be kind of bad if I couldn't.
So. and it looks like you had a nice overcast day, which just makes for, you know, easy shooting on something like that.
Absolutely. And that, when I woke up that morning, I wasn't intending to bring the camera, but saw it was overcast and then thought, okay, I planned on taking my camera to Playland once this year. Like, that's one of those things that we'll probably go 4 or 5 times in the course of the summer. We get the kids like a season's pass, but mm-hmm. I only ever intend on taking the camera there once. And being that it was an overcast day, I thought, perfect. This is the day to do it. I'm not going to have to deal with, you know, the harsh shadows on their faces. And so, yeah, it did work out really well.
Right. Great. I shot my interesting shoot, which was basically interesting because of the only couple things, the camera setup I took. I went and shot a friend of ours kid's first communion.
Okay.
So how do you shoot that? That's what I want to know. When someone says to you, hey, and it wasn't really a situation of, hey, can you come out and shoot this for us? He didn't really ask me, but we were already invited.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what else I would do during the whole day
mm-hmm.
and during the communion part, because you can't go and shoot the actual church stuff. The priest is not super thrilled about that. And it was made very clear, actually, because I guess there was a lot of kids. There's like, I'm going to say 8 or 10 kids doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a packed church, and he didn't want everybody obviously running around up there. There was just no room for it.
Okay.
So, but what? So I had to think, you know, like, what do I want to do? I'm invited to the thing. I'm going with my wife and my two kids, and so I don't really want to be hauling a giant camera bag around. So, what lens and body would I need?
This is a cliffhanger, right?
It's not. No. This isn't that. So I like you. I just decided I'm going to go with just the 85. I'm not going to bring anything else. I am going to use a full frame body. That's the one difference, because I didn't need the long throw or I also wasn't too concerned about it getting, you know, nicked at Playland or bumped or whatever was the other issue you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought my 5D Classic because I love that camera. I wasn't going to be shooting sports or anything, you know, anything fast moving. So for me, it was a no brainer. I was going to bring that lens, that camera, that lens combo. And that was it. No flash, nothing.
Okay.
And by doing that, I knew I would limit myself to what I could get, you know, what results I could get. I knew that if, you know, hey, they're going to want a family picture. Well, it's only certain situations that's going to work with that lens. Like group of 8 or 10 people, it's only going to work in certain situations,
right?
And so I knew by limiting myself that I would kind of have to be creative and look for good light, and that's what I did. And so I posted one of the images, and this is beforehand, before he goes in for the first communion, and I snapped a family photo, and then just saw him sitting here. And actually, I moved him. That's not true. I moved him into some open shade. This what was going on with the clouds, where there's a few clouds and the sun was in and out. So I moved him into mostly open shade with a little bit of directional light coming through the clouds.
Okay.
Which is what gives us a little bit of kind of depth on his face there, like with the shadows.
Yeah.
But everything's very, very, it's handled very easily. We have all the whites are still, nothing's blown out. The shadows are all the very, very detailed in shadows. And there's no tricks here. This is no flash, nothing. This is just right, essentially out of the camera. Just by finding good light for this to happen in.
Okay.
So, there you go. So shot that.
Nice.
What else? A lot of family time this week.
You had.
Yeah, like a lot of little, I mean, it was a good week for that. We had, but I mean, by family time, I mean things like, you know, bath time for the kids, popcorn night, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite times to snap photos.
Okay.
Not you? Don't like it? Not a fan?
I think I've done enough of that now isn't something that I would photograph.
Right, but you have in the past.
Yeah, for me, it's like family beach or something that I usually, that'd be something that I'd be more likely to photograph. Family at home stuff, generally not. I did, however, I should mention that I did, however, use my LED video light and took my first picture with it for my daughter's birthday. Her birthday candle, kind of that typical photo that everyone takes, you know, like the
not
candles.
Typical.
Well, the candles are lit. Like, everyone mm-hmm. takes the photo. Most people probably do it poorly, but everyone takes that. Well, you know what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Well, I'm basically saying I'm better than everybody else.
But, yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I took that picture. I think I'd sort of hinted that was my intention. I was going to try that with the LED light, and it is perfect for that scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to obviously take this out in the middle of the day and overpower the sun with it. It just doesn't have that kind of power. But when you have a room that is more dimly lit, this thing can do all sorts of neat things. So I basically just kind of turned it low, had my wife hold it, you know, maybe 3-4 feet away from her. I made these kind of, like, this is my do-it-yourselfer in me, but I made some like barn doors for it, just with using Velcro and like cardboard and aluminum foil, mm-hmm. and then I could kind of target the light right where I want it to be. But you get really nice catch lights with it, and like I say, you can warm it up or cool it down. So I tried to kind of create a warmth that in the LED light that sort of matched the temperature of the candles, and that was the only light available in the picture. And then I used it sort of to illuminate her face, and yeah, it gets you get a really, really nice warm effect. And I posted that picture on Facebook, and lots of people seem to like it. So I think as far as the setup required, we're talking about I don't know, a minute to, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, the setting up the flash, which is much more involved and also involves the takedown afterwards, and again, get great results. But sometimes you feel like, hey, I must be able to do this quicker.
Yes. Yeah, and then that is kind of funny to think about when you're getting, you know, these studio quality photos, but you're thinking, can I do this in 15 seconds instead of 30?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And usually that's the case in this environment. Like, you got a kid who's waiting to you know, do their birthday cake and blow out the candles. And yeah, it's usually like, all right, everyone stop. I need 20 minutes and I'll get everything set up. And this is one of those cases that if I was over at someone else's house and they asked me to take the birthday cake picture, I would just easily do this right as they were going from the kitchen. It's just a matter of turning on the light here, hold this, boom. And then you can also, you don't have to wait for the flash to recharge because it's continuous lighting setup. So I can shoot, if I want, I can shoot 20 photos and get them all exactly how I want, from the time where she sees the cake to blowing out the candles. And that's another one of the downsides of the flash. You might get, I don't know, 4 or 5 photos in a 10 second span. But you're waiting for that flash to recharge. You might miss something great, right?
Possibly. Absolutely.
Yeah, possibly. Again, yeah. I'm. It's never been something I'm super concerned of, but it's one of those things that all of a sudden, with the continuous light, you say, "Hey, wait a second! I mean, I can shoot as many as this thing as my camera can buffer, right?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I find generally in those situations that with the flash inside, I'm using it on like 1/64th power, so it tends to recharge almost instantly.
Okay.
However, that's not to diminish to take away from the usefulness of the LED light. I mean, I'm going to get one myself, so I'm looking forward to. Well, when you're not looking, I'm just going to take yours. Let's put it that
way. Yeah, the barn doors, like, there was one model, like, they didn't sell it where I was buying mine, but there was one higher model than the one I bought, which is basically the identical light, but it actually came with the barn doors, mm-hmm. and it actually had an LED display on the back that would tell you exactly what power or temperature you're setting at. Mine does not have either that LED kind of display on the back or the barn doors, but pretty simple to make some barn doors. And mm-hmm. of course, like my flashes, I just fix some permanent Velcro onto the corners, and then my barn doors fit nicely in the package, and they just in the carrying case that came with it, and then they go on really easy. And again, just super easy to do that. So I'm really happy.
I'm likely gonna buy the higher up, like the more advanced model.
Of course you are. Yeah.
I don't need it. I'm competitive.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine goes to 11. So. Yeah, so there's that photo challenge this week.
All right,
it was from last week's show called Context. Last week we talked about how to keep things in context, and That's the 4-week challenge. Let's look at yours first.
So this is the walk up to Playland. So as you can see, we're on the other side of the street. So I have the 85 millimeter lens and my crop sensor. So I have to stand back a fair bit in order to get everything in the frame.
Yes.
And I cropped this obviously a bit because I didn't like there's poles and signage and stuff that's just completely distracting to the picture. So I really just wanted to keep the Playland sign in view, and you can see, you know, there's different rides going on camera right. That's where the swings are, that big kind of big top looking thing. That's the mm-hmm. swings. And then there's the big beach party in behind it, which is a ride that sort of swings back and forth and spins at the same time. And then you can see sort of one of the older roller coasters in the background as well. So this was kind of, to me, the most obvious. I was going to Playland. I knew I was going to take a context picture. And mm-hmm. as we walked up, I thought, well, here's the most obvious, hit you over the head with context. So I kind of opted for that. I may have chosen one of my more subtle pictures from the day, except for, as I mentioned earlier, I can't get into my aperture right now. So mm-hmm. So I went with this. But I like this photo.
You know the saying, it's a poor carpenter who blames his aperture.
No, I think I would have went with this anyways.
Yeah, so. No, I would. I think you made a good choice. There's a lot. There's a lot going on here. That's great, and it's, there's almost everything's bang on. I have a couple nitpicks that are you know, barely anything, which I'll mention at the end because I'm like that. But
sure.
But I have a very similar picture from a couple summers ago when my wife and daughter and I were at Playland. It was essentially a selfie on a timer, so it was nowhere near as good as this, because I didn't have a tripod or anything like that. I had to basically put my camera, I had the 40D, so similar crop, but I had brought the 30 mil lens that day, because okay. when you have a, my daughter was one, and so it wasn't like she was going on the bumper cars,
right?
Just the bumper boats, so no, right. But she wasn't going to be taking charge, so everything I was going to be taking would be photos up close, essentially.
Okay.
Where I would physically be up close, and so different lens. So I took a very, I wanted this photo with the three of us, with Playland in the background, but with a 30 mil lens, it's a very, very different photograph. And I, despite the fact that last week we talked about using a wider, lens, I like yours much better. The 85 works way better. Now, for a couple reasons, in this case, I mean, one thing, I wouldn't say you got lucky because you obviously knew what you were doing, but the crowds during this time of the year aren't the same as mid P&E.
Right. No, there's next to nobody there.
Now, for those who aren't, you know, up on the what the P&E, the Pacific National Exhibition is, which is going to be probably most of you, it's like a 2.5 week fit. 2.5 weeks?
Yes, I think it is exactly that.
Yeah, 2.5 week fair that runs in Vancouver every year. It's like Disneyland if it rained all the time. That's what right. it has to be like. No, it's right. not. It's not like that. But it is. It's a fair. Now, Playland is. It sort of runs next to Playland. The yeah. P&E does, and it includes Playland during that 2.5 weeks. But Playland itself is like a theme park that's essentially open for, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. 4 months.
Yeah, it's open from May until I think the end of September, something like that.
So enough with the history. The point being is that during this time, during May, you're obviously, judging by the picture, not going to get the crazy crowds
right.
that are going to, you're going to get in August, let's say, during the P&E. And so that's when I took my shot. And it still wasn't too crowded, but it does change the dynamic a little bit.
Right.
But you're able to get away with an 85. Because the point is, with an 85, like you said, you'd be back, you know, across the street, across, what is that, Hastings?
Yes.
And you'd be shooting across there with probably tons of people walking in between you and your foe and your subject.
Right.
So this is the situation where it works wonderfully. Yes. We also talked about having a, you know, huge depth of field so that everything is included. I wouldn't call this a super deep depth of field, but it's not shallow either. It's right in the sweet spot of where it should be. You definitely, the eye goes to your family, but There's no hiding where you are,
right?
So it's perfect. I think it's a great balance. So there you go.
Okay, where are your nitpicks?
Hey Jack, you having a good day?
This was the happiest of his pictures leading up. But he was more about, hey, just get me inside. I want to go on the swings.
It just, oh, it's just, oh, so you shot this on the way in.
Yeah, this is like, hey, they're standing there, and I'm like, again, walking up going, hey, here's my challenge photo right here. Turn around, everybody. Yeah. Jack, it wasn't a priority for him.
No, it looks like you're going to work land.
Yeah.
Thrilled.
Yeah. So yeah. He was super thrilled inside the park, but yeah, what didn't really want to participate. So, but I appreciate it, that his very limited effort here. The rest of the photos, I snapped about five quickly here, and the rest of them, he has a much fiercer scowl. So this is the happiest one.
Wonderful. Yeah. Other than that, I would have probably left just a tiny bit more of room below his foot, but.
Yeah, and I agree with that too. And part of it was the photo was slightly off axis, and mm-hmm. so in order to crop it where I wanted, I had to rotate it a bit. And in doing that, again, I lost some of that little space. But it looked too distracting with that straight line of the sign of Playland. It was slightly off angle. I hated it, so I had to level it off, and therefore, lost some of that initial space that I had underneath their feet.
It works. It's worth it though, because I do like the straight vertical lines and the horizontal with Playland. It looks really good. I'll actually post my. I'll have to dig it up. I'll post my similar, almost the identical photo. I say almost because, as I said, I didn't have a tripod, so what I ended up having to do is put my camera on a timer and place it on a newspaper box.
Okay.
You know, like where they sell the province to the Sun or whatever?
Right.
And then basically click go and run into the photo and then race back before someone, you know, walked off with my camera. Because as you know, it's not like that's in the nicest part of town.
No.
There's no reason to not go to the P&E if you're in Vancouver. It's totally safe, but I wouldn't leave my camera laying on the street.
Right.
So that was a situation. So I had to sprint back there, and I basically had one shot at that because we took ours at the end of the day. And so by that point, my wife and daughter were plenty tired and ready to go.
Right.
So there you go. All right, let's get to mine, my context photo.
Okay.
Okay, what's going on here? I'm going to ask you, I'm just going to go right to you and say, hey, what's going on here with the photo?
Lane is taking batting practice.
Not my wife, but okay.
Or a girl is taking batting practice. You know what? That's funny because I just opened this photo and my first thought is, that kind of looks like Lena.
Mm.
Yep. It does. Yeah, but I apologize like to Lane. Lena no. is a far better stance than that.
I don't know if that's true, but
oh, okay, all right, yeah. I don't know either. So, it's someone instructing someone else in the realm of batting practice.
That's right. That's one of the baseball players on my team, giving some instruction to one of the softball players on the softball team under the same organization. Actually, you recognize this girl was one of the ones who did the t-shirt advertising for us.
Okay.
That I took a few weeks ago. So what do you think of this photo?
I don't know. It's fine.
It's not even fine, Adam. It is sub-fine.
All right. It's terrible? No, it's not terrible.
It's not terrible because I don't think anyway. Because it has all the elements that we spoke of.
Right, it does. That's why I said it's fine.
Yeah, it fits directly into this category. And in terms of wow factor, doesn't exist.
No, doesn't have it.
There's no wow factor. That's what I went and I took this photo. I had something else in mind entirely. I wanted to go to shoot something in the batting cage, but there was no practice and blah, blah, blah. There's a whole bunch of reasons. So I saw this and I thought, okay, here's a situation where I can provide context. You know, I can tell the story of what's going on, is getting instruction, like you said. I chose to include the pitcher in the shot, which I thought, oh, great. You know, he's standing behind an L screen, which doesn't really work in softball, but he kind of throws around the side of it. But then, and I thought, well, I had actually brought my flash just to and a flash cord so I could get the flash off the camera so I could light the pitcher a little bit just to bring him out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's lit by a handheld flash. I'm holding my flash in my left hand using the cord to trigger it. And that's it. So I put them focused on them in the background, and I wanted to include the picture with the L screen there to kind of give context of what's going on. And I guess I'm presupposing that everybody knows what an L screen is.
Sure, it's the screen that's going to protect him from getting a comebacker in the face.
Right, you know that.
Sure.
But you've been to Safeco Field.
Yeah.
And watched batting practice where they actually use an L screen.
Right.
I don't think most people are going to recognize. I mean, they'll know, okay, this is some sort of a baseball, you know, paraphernalia. But it's not going to jump out. If you don't know what it is, it's not going to jump out at you.
Okay.
So I think what I'm saying is I think it's a failure. I don't think I included enough of it in context to make it look to be identifiable.
I hard to know, but I immediately that jumped out to me as being enough. Like I think you're probably did enough with that to give it the proper context.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Made sure to get a softball in the shot in the bottom right hand corner.
Yep.
I also wanted to include a lot of the trees around because it was, you know, our park isn't a stadium, it's more of a park. Like
right.
It's enclosed, like it's got an outfield. In fact, it's just because of the nature of it, the softball field is on the baseball field.
Okay.
So this is actually the center field fence for our baseball park, is their backstop.
Really?
Yes. And so that's the center field fence behind. But I wanted to kind of give the context of, you know, our park is kind of out in a kind of a wooded area. Like an open field, but lots of trees around. So I wanted it to be the sort of the park aspect and not a stadium look. So I wanted to hammer on that fact. So what I'm saying is I put a lot of effort into making a very mediocre image.
Okay.
And after when I was done and I got home and I looked at it and I was really, I wasn't disappointed because I knew it was mediocre when I got home. And I thought, oh boy, I really got to up my game. I got to go out there and take something better. And then I thought, no, I think I'll just take my licks on the show. And we'll use this as a teachable moment as what not to do.
Okay.
So I think it's a good start. I think it tells the story. I just don't know if it's a story that needs telling.
Right.
So there's that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you could have really done differently.
Shoot something else.
Yeah, shoot something else. Maybe it would be more interesting if the pitcher was actually like throwing the ball, like if the ball was released, if you know there was an actual preparation to swing. Like I think that would definitely the perspective looks good if he's actually releasing the ball. Maybe that would have been a better photo. So, but at the same time, I don't think it would be good enough to go back and reshoot it.
No, I'm not going to waste another second on it. But the other thing is just the lens I use. This is the 40D with a 30mm lens, and so the main subject is just too small in the image.
Right.
And I like the fact that, you know, he's behind the mesh and she's not, and blah blah blah. I did everything on purpose, except for I didn't make it look good. That's the only thing that was in the not on purpose part.
Right.
Like if you look at her hair, she's nicely backlit by the sun, and it was one of those sort of wasn't overcast, but it wasn't direct sun. It was kind of in between, so I waited for a time that the sun would poke through a little bit without giving, you know, a shadow, so we could get good exposure on them, and still have a nice little rim light.
Right.
That all looks good. But I think this image would just work better up close, without context.
Right. Agreed.
And we would figure out everything that's going on. So, yeah. So basically, you get a disqualification win this week. Good for you.
Well, and sometimes, you know, I think you hit on a key point there. I mean, I don't think you necessarily, you know, need to go out looking to shoot context. Like sometimes it just makes sense that you include context, but I think this is kind of forcing an issue, like to have a challenge where the whole intent is to go shoot context. I don't think that ever truly happens, or maybe it does, and I'm overthinking it a bit, but I don't ever really go out with the intention of shooting context. It just kind of works out that way. Like when you're at Disneyland, you are going to take a context shot, and I guess if you're in a Mariners game, you're going to take a context shot, but that's in amongst taking a whole bunch of other shots, and it's usually not the context shot that you sort of grabs you and think, oh, that's the great photo.
Right. Right. It's that's just, your Facebook
it's just
profile.
One in, yeah, it's one in a bundle, right?
Absolutely. So there you go. So that was a horrible challenge you issued last week.
Right.
Good job.
I think it was your challenge, by the way.
It was awesome. It was an awesome challenge. Yeah. Won't be doing that again. I'll tell you that. No, but you're absolutely right. Is the whole idea was to be ready to take context when it shows up. Don't force it.
Right.
Oh, there we go. This week's topic. What's the opposite? We're going to go the opposite now. Because of this whole, you know, misfire... We're going to the opposite of context. What's the opposite of context? Protext.
Sure.
That's not pro. That's not a thing. No. I also like the fact I'm going to shoot you straight. Pretty much every one of my jokes is falling flat today.
Yeah. I've noticed.
Yeah. Well, have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the sound of nobody laughing? This.
Yeah.
What's the opposite of context? Isolation.
Is it really?
Well, in photograph terms.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure it's not an antonym. Like, if you go look it up in Webster's, I don't know. I have no clue. Do people have dictionaries anymore, or did Google just eliminate that?
Yeah, I think it's not a thing.
Thanks a lot, Google. So we're going to talk about how to isolate your subject.
Okay.
Now, why do we isolate?
I don't know. To highlight something?
Sure. To make the eye focus on the intended subject.
Okay.
And, I mean, there are ways to do it without isolating, but let's talk about how to do it by isolating.
Okay.
So what is that? What's the first note I made, because I want to save the good stuff for the tip number three.
Okay.
First one, I talked about framing. How do you frame a subject to make sure they're basically isolated from the background, foreground, etc.?
I don't know. I don't know what you're getting at.
Put them in a prominent position is the note I made.
Okay.
So that basically bring them forward. If you have them really stand out from your background, like a great distance from your background, or not a great, like a decent distance, they're obviously going to stand out. So that's one thing. That's the one simple thing that you can do to isolate your subject is bring them away from the background.
Okay.
Don't have a lot of clutter in the foreground. Same thing, bring them away from their foreground, which sounds weird to put it that way.
Okay.
Okay. When you're talking about background, how do we isolate, now that we've brought them, besides bringing them away from it, which we've already covered, what sort of a background are we looking for?
Blurry?
That's number three, so don't go there yet.
Okay.
Let's assume we're not going to depth of
field yet. Non-distracting.
I actually wrote non-distracting.
Wow.
Now, what does that mean? What is distracting? What are some examples?
When you said, what does it mean, I thought it was that we're soulmates because we think alike. Yeah.
We finish each other's sandwiches. What do you mean by distracting? What are some examples of what's distracting in backgrounds?
Sometimes it might be color. It might be, I don't know, something linear, like funny jagged lines or poles that are off center, or I don't know. I guess there's a lot of things, but I'm out of ideas.
Well, as you'll see in my Playland photo, it could also be strangers staring at your camera. That could be distracting. You don't see it yet, but you will later when I post it.
Okay.
That having strangers look at your camera like, what? Is wildly distracting.
Okay.
So much so that you think, oh, I'm going to Photoshop that out, and then think, no, I kind of like it. It's pretty funny. Yeah. So that's just, basically anything in the background. When I compose a picture for somebody, I generally like to simplify the background as much as possible.
Right.
And that means, you know, if there are any colors besides just white, black, gray, keep them simple. Keep the colors simple. maybe slightly muted, maybe not, maybe go over the top, but either way, what I do is I try to, you know, eliminate patterns that are going to be distracting. So just a nice, like a simple green background, for example.
Okay.
Now, on top of that, a good way to isolate your subject is by the amount of light relative to your subject. And that means lighter background, darker background. So,
right.
So not just, you know, maybe not just the blue wall. Maybe you're going to make sure it's two stops darker than your subject. And that's going to cause your subject to pop out.
Okay.
What do you, when you're doing the lighter versus darker, which do you pick most often in terms of background?
Darker.
It's almost always darker. It's not very often that you want to blow the background out. It can be distracting. Although, with your image, that's something else I meant to mention with your challenge image. Your background is a little bit hot compared to the faces.
Yes.
And it works perfectly. Like, that's exactly, I wouldn't, if you had basically stopped down and then brought a flash, which I know you didn't even have with you, but let's say you had, and lit them with a flash, it wouldn't look the same.
No.
So I think it's a perfect example of when not to do that. But the subject is a little bit light. But generally, when I am setting something up with my subjects, I tend to go for a slightly darker background and have them pop out of it.
Okay.
That's when it's controllable. If it's not, now you have to look for scenarios like my the first communion picture I just showed. I mean, that's another example of the background is quite dark compared to his white, whatever they call that thing.
Right.
Dress, I'm assuming.
Sure. Yeah. I was going to say karate gi or...
Gi. I think it is called a gi.
Yeah.
It's the Catholic gi. And we still see detail in those shadows, but it is considerably darker than him. So he sticks out.
Right.
So that's something else I look for. Now, what you want to do is, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, look for that spotlight effect if you can. That's a great way to do it quite simply without having to light the whole thing. Now, here comes the big one.
Oh.
This is the big one. This is the one that you went to right away. And mostly because everybody does, or after today they will, it's the depth of field.
Right.
This is the big one. Is, you know, because you're shooting all those years with your point and shoot. There was no such thing as everything was in focus.
Right.
Now you run with it. Now, blurring your background and keeping the subject sharp is, I still think it's the best way to isolate your subject. It's my favorite, even though oftentimes it is born from laziness.
Yes.
Maybe I don't want to go and, you know, position my subject and there's a flag pole in the background, so I'm just going to shoot everything at f1.4, f1.8, blur it out, and now everybody pays attention to my subject.
Right. I agree. It is awesome.
Yeah, it's my favorite. And it's not always laziness. Sometimes it's a artistic choice.
Yes.
How do you go ahead? Now, we've talked about it in the past, but how do you go about blurring it?
Well, I guess it depends on the choice of lens. But in the case of what I would do is I'd probably get reasonably close, because we know that the background is going to be more blurred if you're closer to your image or to your subject. And then I would choose a very wide open aperture, like you suggested, f1.8, or maybe again, depending on the lens, maybe a stop down as much as 2.8. And if you have a reasonable distance between your subject and the background, you're going to get a blurry effect.
I did make a series of videos on this very subject a few months back.
Yes, you did.
So I'll put a link to that. You can check those out. There's some different ways to blur your background. But focal length is a big one. As Adam discussed during his Playland segment, 85 works quite well. But, you know, even longer, if you have a 70 to 200 and you shoot at 200, you're gonna get some. You're gonna get a lot of different things working for you in terms of isolation. The background's going to be blurry naturally. It is going to shift the perspective of the background as well. The other thing with the longer lenses is you tend to include less background. That's what I meant by perspective. And so when you stand back and zoom in, you don't have as much of the background to get in the way as you would with, say, a wider lens when you're shooting in close.
Right.
So that's one way to eliminate a lot of the distractions. I very much like shooting here in Germany, like in old Europe, like with the cobblestones and everything like that. But contrary to what one might think, it's not just like the back lot at Universal Studios. There are things that get in the way, and there's a lot of them that sort of get in the way and distract distract from the image. And the big things for me are anachronisms. Like, we have these old buildings that are 500 years old, and they've been repainted and all that, and they tend to keep the nice, you know, lettering on the signage.
Right.
But you still have, maybe you'll have a weird-looking drain pipe that's been retrofitted in the last, you know, 20 years. Or, you know, things that, you know, any repairs that are done or certain things, or the phone booth doesn't quite look like it did in 500 years ago, and so that sticks out. Those are the things I tend to want to blur to take away from any distractions.
Okay.
Not a fan of those anachronisms that don't fit. Germany's pretty good about it, but they do pop up everywhere in the old town. The other thing that I really drives me crazy over here is the amount of graffiti on old buildings. You have these old stone buildings or stone walls and stuff that really lends itself, you know, to nice photographs, and then you've got, you know, something silly spray painted on it. And so I find in those situations you can't always sort of, you know, steer away from them. It's everywhere. And so those are the reasons that I need to basically blur the background and isolate my subjects, so that you get the hint of where they are, but you don't get all the graffiti.
Okay.
So those are some reasons to do it. So those are the simple ways. There's a whole bunch of other super technical ways about how to lead your viewer's eye across the image. That requires a lot of work on our part, so we're just going to skip that.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Do the simple things. Get those right. That's my suggestion.
Okay.
This week's challenge. Next week's challenge. Should we do context again? Since I blew it so badly.
Yes.
Oh, just say no. Give me a pass.
Okay. No. No. No.
Should we do isolation?
Sure.
Yes! I can do that much better. I hope.
Okay.
I hope I can.
Now you've set yourself up. Like, you better come through.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I better for a number of reasons. Not just this.
Okay.
We didn't mention Amazon, did we?
You did right now.
I did right now. People are continuing to buy Amazon. I just got an email a couple days ago, or yesterday. Somebody bought a flash for his brother-in-law, bought it on our website, or through our Amazon link.
Great.
So much appreciated. Do you think your brother-in-law will buy you a flash, or anything this summer?
No.
I'll have a talk with him.
Okay.
Tell him to buy it through our site.
Yeah, click through Amazon.
Yep.
Hey, how are the t-shirts coming? What's the t-shirt update?
T-shirt update is I'm still looking for the first vendor of where we're going to get this printed.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Uh-huh. Who's Pete?
Yeah. I don't know.
Sampras?
Yeah.
Okay. No, this will happen. This will be chosen in the next couple weeks.
We got to get it out prior to Canada Day. This is a red Canadian shirt. I want mine for Canada
Day. Oh, good point. Yes. Okay. You know what? That does ramp things up to make it happen for this week. Then you're absolutely right. I'm going to shoot you straight. I got about 1 million things. 99 problems.
I don't care. Yeah, no, I don't no, care I'm, about any of them. I don't care about any of them.
Listen to me. I'm explaining that. Yes.
All right.
That is what has caused a delay. I completely forgot about the intended Canada Day celebration part. So, you know what? That's going to ramp things up.
Okay.
My kid's diabetes medicine can wait.
Yes, absolutely.
Not a priority anymore.
Yeah. He has the rest of his life to be diabetic.
Right? It's all perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of that's true, by the way. Just okay. So as you know, more so the fact that I would not put, if it was true, it would not be a priority over t-shirts. It would be even. It'd be a coin toss.
Right.
Okay, Adam. That's enough. That's enough tomfoolery.
Okay.
I think we're good. I think we got the idea of isolation, and we're going to do it. Just a quick hint for us for next week.
What?
Are you going to light yours, or is it going to be a natural lighting situation?
I'm not sure. I'm going to surprise you.
I think you're not going to surprise you. I think it's going to be an LED light.
It might be.
Yeah. Surprise!
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know what I'm going to do either, so there you go. Until next... Oh, no, wait, websites. Where can people find your stuff, Adam? Quick, because then I'm dragging this
out. Two Hosers Facebook.
Yeah, great. Mine's at alanatridge.com, and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know. That's it. Till next week, get out there and make better photos.